Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. Knocks it down. Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket, and oh my, Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill, off to Stevens. Oh my! 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out!
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
Hey everyone, Evan Damrell here, co-host of Locked On Cavs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Joining me as always is my co-hostess with the mostest. He's wearing a beanie and he's wearing some gray and greeny. It's Chris Manning, folks. Chris, how you doing?
Vibing, my brother. Vibing.
I love it. That's, you know, if we did a word cloud for you, how big would vibe or vibing be for you? I think it'd be pretty big.
Yeah, I think as I'm trying to kind of how do I say this without getting weird? I think as I'm trying to do a little more of vibe checking on myself and just working on the kind of energy I'm putting out there sometimes, I think that is a good word for how I'm approaching a lot of things.
Well, it's not a bad way to live. Why be mean to people? Life is way too short. But
there's only one thing I can't help myself with, and Evan knows what it is. You can't say it. I'm going to text it to you, and you'll probably get a chuckle.
Continue. Bridgers.
Well, no, that's just my darkness coming out. I listened to her a bunch on my trip because that's just what I do.
That's fair. Used a reaction of hers to troll Bill DeFilippo. Also, shout outs to friend of the show Bill DeFilippo and his Buca de Beppo ad campaign. It is so awesome to see a friend of the podcast being able to use the platform of the first quintillion dollar Cleveland Cavaliers podcast to launch himself into new heights and new marketing opportunities. But Chris, you work with Bill a Dime, You had a little story about one of the littlest men on Cleveland's roster, Darius Garland. Why don't you walk me through the process first? Was it in the middle of a casino in Vegas?
Or no.
Was it exciting? Was it just at Thomas and Mac?
It was exciting, and it was at Thomas and Mac, halftime of Jalen Green versus Cade Cunningham.
Heh. Sorry.
That's how, you know what it is. But so one of my editors at Dime, someone who I think will be in the pod soon, Martin Rickman. There's a bunch of different clutch clients who are their media manager was setting us up with, and he was like, do you want to talk to Darius? So I'm like, yeah. So I was like, yes. So they're like, okay, well, you'll either meet him out in the concourse or you'll go to his seat and talk to him. And he was hanging out with Isaac watching this game, if I remember correctly. But I just talked to him in the concourse at Thomas and Mack at halftime. It was very loud, but he was really cool. More relaxed. I think one thing I have to remind myself a lot of the time is that when you get to talk to athletes, I think anyone in a one-on-one setting, you get to just kind of be more human with them, and it's not post-game and stuff. I think you tend to get more interesting stuff, but it was just a cool experience. I just want to publicly just say thank you to Martin and Bill for giving me a chance to do that, and it was just cool to talk to Darius a little bit. And I just will lead with this, and I want to, the last thing I'll say on it is, not on the whole article, but I asked him about Height Watch, mm-hmm. and he laughed and he said, "I hope I'm taller." And I didn't put it in the story because it didn't really matter. But that was one of the last things I asked him, and he seemed to get a kick out of it early. He probably thought, "What is this whack ass white dude asking me about that for?" But yeah,
that's fair. That reminds me of the time I interviewed Colin Sexton when he partnered with Gurkha, which is the local leather company, and I asked him, "How do you feel about the Sexton nickname?" And that didn't make it into the story, but he laughed and said, It's real that the fans show us such love to love two kids like us. I get what you mean, though. Players are a lot more different when it's, not post-game, especially for the Cavs. It's hard to, be on for the media after you have maybe, another soul-crushing loss. And it's also, there's certain things you can and can't say because mics are hot and cameras are on and you don't want to be the person with the blow-up. And I think, shouts to Martin, friend of the pod, Martin Rickman, and as an aside, I think it's really funny. I met him in person for the first time not too long ago with you were there and my girlfriend was there. And Ellen pointed this out saying, like, we were talking, you and I were talking basketball with Martin. And then Martin's just like, can we talk about something else other than basketball? It just makes me laugh whenever I think about that now. But I think he like shares like with us how he interviews some of the players, like Larry Nance Jr. He did a story with him and he's like, I just got breakfast with Larry. And then I think it's funny. Larry made a huge deal about Martin offering to pay, but I think those kind of environments and stuff where it's not like where the cameras are hot or the cameras are on and like a bunch of mics are hot, you can just have a casual conversation with them really works. And it really shows in this story, it feels laid back, but like you got a lot of good info and I got a lot of good intel. I'm also really impressed by your turnaround too. Like you texted me at 10 o'clock Cleveland time and I'm just sitting there building furniture and you're like, you're talking to Darius. I'm just like, well, I'm jelly. And I'm like, here I am building furniture. But like the conversation went well, I assume. I
mean, yeah, clearly. I think what stood out was just the how much he said the word vibes a lot, to bring us back to vibes. He said it maybe like 18, I want to say there's more than in the story, and I think it's like in the story. I'm gonna search on the So it's in the story, I guess, once, but it's like he references vibes quite a bit. But I think he said it like at least 5 or 6 times, like in the interview. It's very interesting to see that like not him and the Cavs are sort of looking for him, I think, to take on a bigger role as a leader. And I think that's sort of an interesting thing to see where that goes, because I think I really, really have come to think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to largely come or go with Darius next season. And I think like that means him as a player on the court. I think that means like his creation ability and shot making ability really needs to get to another level if they're going to meaningfully improve. But I think that they need him to kind of be the guy that is going to keep things organized on it, which I think Ricky Rubio is obviously going to help with that. I think that Garland is seemingly just more comfortable. Like he's openly just talking about like his confidence being way higher. He says, like, year one, hectic, just trying to play games after coming off surgery. Year two was a totally different thing, but, like, also not really where he wants to be. I think, like, the idea is that, like, there's another leap coming for Darius here in year three, and I think some of that is going to be as him as one of the leaders of the team. I think he's going to be a little more vocal. I think it was a clear point that him and a lot of the guys were all in Vegas just to support the team. Colin was there as well. And I, by all accounts, like I think it's seeming like he is going to be one of the main focal points of this Cavs team, and it's going to be on Darius to like help bring along Evan Mobley too. It's something he talked about, like wanted to make sure he's getting into his role and getting into a spot in league to succeed. So, he was already like maybe the most interesting player for me on the team next season. In a lot of ways, he really, really might be number one for me now, just based on kind of thinking through like how really, like really starting to do some preview work and think about next season. Like, I really think he might end up being the most important player on the team in a lot of ways. And he seemed very kind of comfortable with it, at least.
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting, you and I, at least we're getting that impression, and a couple others that are, you know, tuned in when it comes to watching the Cavs, getting the impression that like they're trying to pass the reins to Darius a little bit. This will be his third season. We saw a lot of things that popped last year in his sophomore campaign, his rookie campaign. It's sparks and opportunities of potential with him, and hopefully he can stay healthy. Like, we can talk about this in the next segment a little bit too, to see it, and just to talk more about your conversation as well. But like,
well, we'll link it in the show notes. People can go read it. I think you can get what you get out of it. Again, this, I'm not going to tell you that this was like the definitive like Darius Garland piece. I hope that I will certainly be writing a lot more, and we'll be talking more about him all season. It was just kind of one of the highlights of Summer League for me, was getting to like interview a guy on the team I covered and frankly, just as a petty person, sometimes like it's something that the other two people on the beat that were there full time paid and didn't pay their own way didn't get to do.
Yeah, no, that's the funny thing. And now Chris can actually say what's going on, man, and probably actually has some meaning to it when he talks to the players post game, because he's actually buddies with Darius Garland.
Maybe he'll like recognize me as the guy who asked him about height watch, like the blonde guy wearing like the 574s.
I respect it. But Chris, we got to take a quick break and take a quick word from our sponsors, and I'm going to take things here. dramatic sigh for emphasis and for me to catch my breath, but I got to share something with everyone. And it's just not fun to talk about, and it's excessive sweating. You know, when you were sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know that I personally have dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now, listen, I know this isn't life and death, but there are much worse problems in the world, and let's be honest, in the moment it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use SweatLock Antiperspirant Wipes. SweatBlock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, and the next morning you wake up, wash, and go on about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use SweatBlock once or twice a week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out, no more picking my shirts based on which ones will hide the sweat better, so folks, you can wear gray with confidence. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon or CVS.
Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at BetOnline, the official betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on sports from the comfort of your home, on your phone or laptop. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Do not sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. With the promo code LOCKEDON, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And again, the promo code is LOCKEDON, all one word.
And we are back with more Locked On Cavs. Chris, real quick, how do you feel about the power alliance between the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12? I think it's silly.
College sports are bananas.
College sports are bananas. It's all about Maction on this podcast, and that's the only athletic conference I care about.
There is all I'm not going to spoil that until I get to actually do it, but there may be something fun coming in that regard for me soon. You can guess. You can figure it out. Don't say the name if you think of who it is. It's pretty obvious.
Oh, wait, no, I know what you're talking. I thought you were going to say you're like starting a Locked On Bobcats podcast, and I like rolled my eyes for a second.
I don't have the time. I don't have the time for that.
I was going to say respect, man. Respect the hustle, and hopefully you can find an audience for that. I'd hate listen just to say like you're wrong on everything. But jumping
check still clears on the hate listen, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Hate like Cavs legend Isaiah Thomas once said, hating hours are from 9 to 5, and right now business is closed, but things, and I don't know, are you open on weekends for hating hours? IT wasn't.
I'm just not trying to hate anymore. I'm like, except for getting one exception.
Oh, that's fair. One exception, but as your Twitter banner says, stories are windows, and here where all stories are born, they are infinite in number. What was the window like into talking with Darius a little bit? Like, you said he talked about how he wants to make Mobley better. Expand upon that a little bit. Like, what's he wants to do for Evan specifically?
Well, I think he understands, like, that it's going to be one of the things for him is, like, feeding Evan Mobley and getting him in positions to succeed. Like, I think one of the things that it's going to be on him to do is to really empower a lot of the rest of the team. Like, so much of Darius's success next season, I think, is going to be on how much better he can make others around him, how much he can put other people in good situations, how much he can put different guys in spots to succeed in terms of like getting them positioned right on the floor and keeping things organized. Like, that is going to be one of the things that really falls on him. And with Evan Mobley, like that, like we saw in Summer League, that is something he clearly needs. And it's like, there's so much you can take from Summer League with Mobley to an extent, but there's also a lot. It's like, I just want to see him play with Ricky Rubio and Darius Garland, and specifically Darius Garland, as Darius being a guy that, you know, they could play together for the next 10 years, in theory, or at least the next 5 years, and, like, be a really good duo in the foundation of what Cleveland is building. Like, that is a scenario here that we can consider as a possibility. So, like, yeah, I just look at that, and it's I think Darius kind of clearly understands it. I think Darius understands it. Like, it is on him as the point guard, as the year three kind of quote-unquote veteran, as Evan actually called him during Summer League, which is very funny, because he's like in his third year and like barely can drink alcohol legally, but like it's just like that is where the Cavs are at, and it's just kind of an interesting place I think for them to be, considering that Darius, it's gonna fall on Darius to do a lot of that, and Rubio as well, but like clearly much more so Darius.
Well, I think it's gonna really help Evan Mobley out quite a bit that he got to play with Olympic All-Star 5 member Ricky Rubio. But speaking of the Olympics, Darius also was a part of Team USA. He played some games with them, and you guys actually talked about his experience with that too. Do you think, at least based on your conversations, he's going to use that experience of having to play with some of the best in the world to kind of take the reins of this team going forward? Because like that's a huge experience building it, or it's a building block and helps him build experience towards solidifying the remainder of his career, don't you think?
Yeah, I would have thought that, you know, regardless of if he had like kind of told me that he was getting to play against some of the best players in the world and getting that confidence from that, right? Like, I think he, I asked him about Pop and Spo, and he's like, Pop is like really intense, and he got a lot out of just that structure and that kind of vibe and that environment. I think getting to work with Spo was a really good thing as well. Spo is a insanely good coach, and I think it was good for him to get to work with him more so directly with the select team from all that's kind of been said. But like, I kind of just think like this was one of those experiences that like you want your young players to have, right? Like, I know why some guys didn't go, you know, like, you know, jobs, like the job and the tray of it all is sort of like a interesting thing to watch for like the future of USA basketball. But Darius being a guy that like got to go through this and even if and get to be on the scrimmage for a little bit, I think just ultimately like is a good thing. I think he understands it. I mean, I don't think he was gonna come out and like trash it or anything like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he said anything that was like key, but I think he comes out, I think for Darius, like this summer being a such summer where he gets to work with USA basketball, gets to compete against, you know, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, like all these guys in practices. And then he follows that up by going to Las Vegas, and like he's one of the people that is there with the team with JJ Ala, who has worked directly with him and is brought into Cleveland in large part to like help with his development, right? Like that was clearly a thing they were doing in bringing Ala in the first place. Like they have a very good relationship. So like I kind of think this is just like a summer where it's like, okay, Darius is going to get, this is like a summer where Darius basically is getting an opportunity to begin leveling up. Like he's in a position where like he can really solidify himself as like a big piece for the Cavs going forward, a really interesting player to watch. Like the opportunity is clearly there, and this is the first step, and this is either going to be something that like set him up as a springboard or it's not. And I think the way he's talking about it, the way, you know, to me, to others, I think just when we think about it conceptually, like what this represents, I think the intent and the benefit is pretty clear there. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see what it can turn into. I think there's a lot to like, but again, there's going to be a lot on Darius's shoulders next year in a way that, you know, after his rookie year, we might not have thought ever. I think that if you were concerned that might not have been the case, I don't think that would have been unfair.
No, yeah, there are some concerns. I still have reservations about Darius going into his junior year, I guess, if you want to get technical, like school order, just the health stuff. But I think he has the right mentality going into this, like working with Popovich and working the best of the world is only going to be huge for him. But I think he has the right mentality where he knows he has to be the leader of this team and one of the leaders of this team. Like he is the lead point guard for this team and he has star potential in my opinion. But I think he has the right mentality as well going into this where he says his like rest and relaxation time was earlier. Now it's time to get back to work. Like the Cavs are back pretty soon. Like I think we saw a lot of that with some of the pictures that the Cavs posted on social of like Darius, Colin, Jarrett working out with the summer league guys and getting extra work into. Like that's just hugely beneficial for them because especially with Evan Mobley's development too. Like those three guys I mentioned, Isaac as well, they all need to get comfortable with one another because the Cavs are going to probably have the youngest starting lineup in the league next year. There's going to be a lot of mistakes, there's going to be a lot of missteps because of just youth and inexperience, but these moments are so critical, and I think Darius being a big part of that is just huge for this Cavs team.
The NBA season starts in 67 days.
That's gross.
Like, the first game is in 67
days. That's gross.
That's very fast.
Which matchup are you looking forward to the most as we head into break soon?
What do you mean? Game
for the Cavs next year?
That's like really hard to answer because like they're gonna obviously play every team.
Yeah, they are. But I think I'm looking forward to Houston the most. KPJ, Houston in Cleveland, like Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, like that's a fun dynamic because Mobley can say like "fuck y'all, you should have picked me second." And Jalen Green,
even though that is not really his MO, Jalen Green's MO is like, I'm going to be petty about not being picked number one forever. And Mobley's just like, I'm just going to succeed. Like, there's a very clear differentiation in how they approach
things. No, I agree. I'm looking forward to that one. I think Detroit is just for the same reason, but like, more back to Houston. Christian Wood versus Jared Allen's fun. Christian Wood's a good test for Evan Mobley. Sanguin is also another good it's another nice, you know, reverb matchup between Mobley and him. KPJ coming back to Cleveland is going to be tough, but I think that's going to be an interesting development as well. Like, Jalen Green's going to be gunning this entire time, but I wonder if Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be gunning to try and kill the Cavs as well. Like, really looking forward to that Houston one, looking forward to the Detroit for the similar reasons with the Mobley being picked third. And then obviously just like the Lakers, it's always nice when LeBron plays, and like Anthony Davis will be such a good test for Evan Mobley. Like, Isaac Okoro got put through the ringer. Like, Evan Mobley's gonna be defending some pretty damn good players because he's so switchy as well.
Yeah, my answer is actually the Indiana Pacers, and specifically the Indiana Pacers on the road, because if you remember back to the Kyrie beginning of his career, it was very, very hard
for
those teams to like actually find a way to win in Indiana. And like, they have Sabonis, they have Turner, they have Malcolm Brogdon, like that they have TJ Warren for a quarter guard. Like that's a team that, even if they're not the flashiest team or anything like that, like that is a solid basketball team that will presumably be well coached by Rick Carlisle. And like, that historically was a stout test. But Evan, if you guys are facing stout tests out there, if you're trying to, you know, hit that next level in your own performance, might I suggest trying out our friends at Built Bar? Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. You obviously have heard them on the pod as well. I brought them with me to Summer League because I was like, look, it's going to be pricey to get a good snack out there. It's probably going to be unhealthy. I'm going to eat something I don't want to eat. So I brought a couple of Built Bars. So I had a mocha one that I had left over. I had some mint ones that were fantastic. And they're all great. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the nine flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Order today and get that coconut, that cherry barcia, that mint brownie, or whatever it is that you like. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, we are back one last time for our double dip on Saturday of Locked On Cavaliers, the number one Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Chris, Summer League is going to be wrapping up soon. We dropped this on a Saturday, so they will be playing the Cavs. The Summer Cavs will be playing the Knicks. Let's break down some of their moves. It's a pretty extensive list this offseason. They traded Taurean Prince, a second-round pick via the Washington Wizards in 2022, and cash considerations for Ricky Rubio. They drafted and signed Evan Mobley to his rookie scale contract for the third overall pick. And that's pretty much it.
They have not signed an outside free agent.
It's been they also signed Jared Allen to a 5-year, $100 million extension, excuse me. But other than that, it's nothing's really happened for the Cavs. And we've talked about this before. A lot of it falls on the fact that Kevin Love is making $31.3 million next year. Like, that's really hard because that just kind of straps the Cavs for cash. And we're seeing that right now. Like, they have no money to work with. They have a mid-level exception. They need to be cognizant and wise with it. And they addressed the need for a backup point guard because they've never really had a truly healthy or consistent one behind Darius Garland, because it's been Matthew Dellavedova and Dante Exum and Brandon Knight for the better part of the last 2 years. So at this point, like, yeah, that's a win, but they still have a huge need on the wing. I keep stressing this, but Chris, I'm going to cede it to you for a second. What do you think the Cavs' overall biggest need is, with their mid-level being their only real option left, other than like barring a trade or something, just an outright signing?
I would just want to go for, like, wings. Like, I think you look at what this roster is, it's like they just need shooting and they need someone to try and at least, like, they're going to have – it's going to be likely someone who can provide an opportunity, who can figure some of this out and, like, be in a position where, like, you're going to maybe just have a guy that pops. Like, you know, you got to try – you have to try – you have to at least see if, like, give Wendler – Wendler's going to get a chance. Like, you're going to have guys that, like, aren't the most fun options in the world, but, like – you should be looking to kind of just see like who is going to be potentially just a guy that you could get for affordable deal and bring them in and have them play in the wing, and we'll see how that works. Like the options aren't great, you know, like Stanley Johnson's out there, Wesley Matthews is out there, James Ennis III is out there, Etwan Moore I believe is still out there. Josh Hart would be
McKinney is out there, my dude.
Yeah, he would kind of make some sense. You know, like I Josh Hart would be kind of the one that I think would be the highest upside one.
What
but
about,
like,
what about
you're kind of Kalik? He's an RFA, so no, it's a little not. Tricky. But
the Thunder.
Oh, did he get rescinded?
Rescinded his rights, so or rescinded his qualifying.
Okay,
their qualifying correct. Offer. So, sure. So he's a UFA.
Okay, sure. I would roll the dice. Like, it's just going to be something like that. I, you know, the Denzel Valentine, like, Reddit thing is not true. No. People probably know that by now. I don't think that made sense anyway. Not a shooter at all. So, whatever. That's all it is. And I think, like, again, you could have been more aggressive this offseason if you didn't have the Kevin money, but you have the Kevin money, and you weren't going to dump it for something bad, presumably. So this is your reality, and I think if you come away with, like, one guy to roll the dice on, then, like, I think that's okay. You know, maybe you talk yourself into, like, a Frankie Ntilikina now that he's, you know, out there just as, like, a wing-guard combo kind of thing. But, like, I'm saying if you're going to consider something that isn't a pure wing, like, that is the kind of thing you probably have to do because there's just not, like you don't need another big. You have Dean Wade and Kevin Love and Larry Nance and Kagembele and obviously Mobley and Allen. And, like, you don't need another big. You already have a lot of them. So, like,
chill.
None of those other things make sense. Like, let's just try a wing. And if you can't get a wing that you like, then, like, try the bigger combo guard thing. So at least, like, you're doing it. Or keep the roster spot open and say it and just posit it as, like, trade flexibility. But really also saving yourself a little bit of money in the short term.
Yeah, you and I are in agreement when it comes to the Cavs needing to get a quality wing that can provide some shooting and spacing, because that's, other than not having a primary playmaker on this Summer League roster, I think the lack of spacing became incredibly apparent. Like, I know Isaac Okoro was shooting threes, but he wasn't making them at, like, a super high clip still. And Matt Ryan is arguably the team's best three-point shooter in terms of summer league. Like, you need spacing, and yeah, you have Garland and Sexton alongside Mobley, and theoretically Okoro provides some spacing as well, but, like, it could get clunky really fast again for the Cavs. So a wing that can hit three should be a huge priority. Svi Mykhailiuk would be a big one. I was big on Iggy Brazdeikis, but one of our readers and one of our listeners pointed out that he signed a two-way contract with the Magic, so he's out. Alphonso McKinney would make some sense too. There's options out there for sure. I just think the Cavs need to explore it, and I know they are. Like, based on what I've heard, they're trying to be as aggressive as they can to sign or trade for a quality wing that can make sense and, you know, kind of elevates the rest of this roster. And I think defense and three-point shooting are, like, the biggest calling cards, but, like, Frank Ntilikina, there was going to make a face at it, but then I heard your reasoning. It's just he doesn't provide much spacing still, and I guess that the Cavs
no, but, like, legend. But, like, you're getting a minimum player. You're not getting a if you were signing a player who was going to matter for you and clearly going to just be a starter or something, that player would have already signed for a lot more money than you have
right. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You're getting something, and you're hoping that you're turning something blah into okay. Yeah. Like, that's what you're hoping for here. And that's, like, some of these guys are good. I hope all these guys get chances. They can make money. Like, that is what I hope for every single one of them, whether it's the NBA otherwise. But, like, the reality is that, like, these are fringe guys for a reason.
Yeah, they are. And it also just, you know, the Cavs are going to get priced out on a lot of free agent options too, because Cleveland's not really still a desirable destination. Like, I know the other rival podcast of ours will tell you that everything's fine in Bossing say, but I still think there's a lot of questions about what this Cavs team actually is going forward that raises a lot of red flags. Plus, I don't know, man. Like, you got the Kevin Love contract's such a huge egg in the face of this whole organization. Like, I think if you inject a truth serum in anyone, they say they regret it. I don't know if a buyout happens anytime soon. We will see what happens there. But if that does, and maybe there's some more money on the table, maybe Cleveland could explore something there. But if at this time they have to explore cheap options, and you add a wing to round out the rest of this roster, then maybe you head into camp and hope some type of trade materializes, kind of like the JaVale McGee trade, which happened way after the fact and was kind of held up because of COVID and stuff. But I think that's like the real viable path, is just maybe waiting for a trade to materialize, but you sign one of these cheaper wings, then maybe you make a trade to get a more stable option just to balance out some of the roster, because they have so many fours and just big guys on this roster and small guards. Like, there's a huge gulf in between those two on the perimeter.
Yeah, I think that's as good of a place to, I think, just pick a wing or whatever and call it a day and roll in with the roster. And maybe there's a G League guy that we're not even thinking of, yeah, or something that they've been scouting. But like, it's just the reality the Cavs are in.
Let us know if we missed it. Let us know if the Cavs should pick boneless, boned in, or a 3-point shooting defensive wing. Let us know what you think in the Twitterverse, on Facebook, on anywhere. We'll be on YouTube soon. We are doing this 3 days a week going forward. We normally do this 5 days a week. We'll be back to doing that in late September, I believe, just based on what the calendar says. So yeah, just stay tuned for that. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts if you haven't yet. We will do a better job of shouting you guys out going forward. But yeah, Chris, is there anything you want to say before we go?
No, just hydrate and everyone be well.
Talk to you all on Monday, 1 to 3 days next week. But talk to you then.